Welcome to the GBC Big Three Podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and joining me again as co-host, because she just will not be stopped.
Cannot get enough,
Jess Baker.
Hello,
my
Matt.
My dear friend. Oh, it's great to have you.
Yeah, again, another week, another podcast.
another load of wisdom. How you going?
What's going on? What's going on? What isn't going on?
I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
Nothing much. My life is the same. The babies are delivered. I'm there to catch them.
Yeah, very good.
A lot of Netflix. Watched The Social Dilemma this week on Netflix. Blew my mind.
Yes. You've shared this with me last night, actually, because you were saying how ultimately you're never going to respond to anything on Facebook ever again.
Don't message me again on Insta or Facebook because they are deleted and my phone has been thrown out the window. I just want to live a peaceful life away from social media.
I just want to be disconnected. I just want to be free.
It's a pipe dream. I continually pick up my phone to look at my notifications and they're not there. So it's a struggle.
I will say though, you mentioned how like your phone figures out if you're meant to be on the phone. Mm. And so it like does this fake notification.
To make you pick up your phone.
And I actually woke up this morning to such a notification. Yes. And it was just this random Instagram like, hey, such and such, some random person who like you know from a decade ago posted something on Instagram. I'm like, I don't know why I need to know that. But it's when I'm normally feeding my newborn son. But he gave me a sleep in this morning, so I wasn't. And then my phone was just there trying to get at me.
Isn't that outrageous?
Conspiracy theory.
The one moment I try and be a good girl and not pick up my phone, it's like, hello, here's a notification.
Conspiracy.
Awful.
It's the beginning of the Terminator movies, ultimately.
Haven't watched them. Well, don't want to now if it's like that because I had a little panic attack watching The Social Dilemma, so I'm not up for the Terminator, obviously. All right.
This is not the point of the big three, so I feel like we need to move on.
Yeah, let's get on track, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's bring the Lord into this. So in a moment, we're going to be joined by Mark Coleman, who brought us the word during our online services this past Sunday. And Jess and I will be putting the big three questions to him as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's service. Now, for those of you who might have missed it, Mark continued our series in the Book of Psalms called The Songs of the People, looking at the power of God and how it equips us to act. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for now, Jess, I'm really interested on your thoughts coming out of Mark's message.
I thought this message was great. I'm going to sound like a broken record every single week and say, I do not understand the Psalms. I read this psalm and I was doing the Bible reading at the 6 p.m. service this week. And so you read the passage and I'm like, I get God is powerful. Don't get any of the other stuff. So it was great to kind of sit down and unpack. But I don't know why I constantly need this reminder that God is more powerful than I can imagine. And it's not up to me and my strengths.
Yeah.
It is up to God. And so why do I keep using my weaknesses as an excuse not to act?
It's such a classic, isn't it? Because like we know that God's powerful. It's something that we see in scripture, we see in the world. It's something that we hear regularly from the pulpit and in worship and in prayer. And yet, I totally agree with that. It's I know it in my head, but like that experience of it and that reflection of it in my life, do I see it all the time? Mm. Perhaps not.
Yeah. And so Mark's like call at the end to actually sit and have a moment with God. Mm. Physically experiencing his power and what this passage, this psalm means was cool. I'm going to give it a go.
I loved it. I've got to admit that whole, we can get stuck in our minds and forget to act. That really resonated with me because I was like, that's such a thing. I can just kind of live a day or a week or even a month, if we're being real, knowing God, but like, am I actually living that relationship out in its fullness and to its full potential? Because that's like one of the things that I loved about Coleman's message was that it was like just the epitome of a pep talk. Like I just felt pumped after. I'm like, I've got the power. Like I just had that song going through my mind. I'm just like, there's just so much potential here. But I allow myself to just kind of think the fun out of it, I guess, a little bit.
For sure. Me and Jesus, what a power couple.
What a power couple.
We can do anything.
Oh, I imagine the likes you'd get on that gram, but we're not on the gram at the moment, so you'd never know. Well, with all that said and done, I think it's time for us to start looking at this week's three big questions submitted through Slido. So, Jess, what are our big three?
So question one is, how can focusing on the knowledge of God interfere with our call to action? That's kind of what you were talking about, getting stuck in your head with that stuff. That will be super keen on that. Question two, what does it look like for us to act on God's power within us?
I'm really interested to see where Mark takes us on that one because in Slido, actually, the person who asked that question, they kind of made the comment like, hey, like God's power can be a bit subjective, like what it looks like and what it feels like and how it takes shape. So like, is it one of those things where it looks different in everyone's life, or is there a common thread that kind of ties it all together? I'm really keen to hear Coleman says about that.
And question three, how do we as a community get better at recognizing God's voice, both individually and corporately?
Yeah, great stuff.
Please tell us the ways.
Please show us, O wise one. And I feel like that question or a version of that question has come up so often on the big three. It seems to be a real heart cry for a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people who are tuning into our services, a lot of people who call GBC home, wanting to really, get a sense of, you know, how do we discern, how do we recognize what God's doing and what he's calling us into and what he's saying in our life. Like there's a lot of uncertainty in that for people. And I guess a bit of a fear to lean in because what if we're wrong? What if I'm completely misintepreting it? It just keeps coming up. And I guess it keeps coming up for a reason.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Keen jelly bean. Well, I guess there's only one thing missing, and that is the delightful Mark Coleman. So, Mark, welcome to the big three.
Hello. I've just been waiting to do that.
That was like when the countdown ends and it's just like a little bit of silence.
Hello.
Hello. I was actually trying to think, and this is showing my age, but I was thinking of the program Frasier and he's like, I'm listening.
See, this is such a weird thing from my childhood, but we weren't allowed to watch Frasier. We were only allowed to watch Friends. Which, you know, but then we weren't allowed to watch Home and Away. We were only allowed to watch Neighbours. Like my parents.
Were confused.
They were confused or they were just really minimizing the amount of television I watched. Because really if it was open slather, I'd just
watch them all. Got to catch them all.
I'd record them on VHS and then watch them later.
Bless. I don't know what VHS is. All right. So Mark, let's kind of jump into what you preached about on Sunday. When you were preparing this sermon, what really resonated with you? What was that like standout light bulb kind of moment?
I think the first thing that struck me about it was, as you guys have talked about, the power concept. And I just had this deep sense that we so often live disempowered and kind of in that place of weakness. And I was like, I'm glad that it felt like a pep talk, because reading it, spending time studying this, that was my kind of version of that. I felt like God gave me the pep talk in that space and just recognizing his power at work. I just think that's so important. I'm very passionate about that. So it was easy to be passionate about preaching this. So.
Yeah, awesome. That's right cool. On. It showed. It was really good.
Yeah, it was great. And keen to see what else comes out of it. I think it's time to get into the big three.
Let's go.
So Coleman, our first question, you know, really comes out of, I think, one of the traps that you identified in your message, which is that we can be a little bit too much in our heads and not acting out and not taking up that invitation. So our first question really stems from that. How can focusing on the knowledge of God interfere with our call to action?
Well, I'm really glad that you've asked the question. And the thing that's really helpful, particularly about podcasts like this, is you get the opportunity to kind of expand a bit more on your thinking. And there's obviously a certain point that you're aiming at when you're preaching a particular sermon. You can't say everything. Like, there's a whole lot of culling that goes in terms of, you know, trying to keep a focus of a message. And the thing I think I want to say, and in this forum it's great, is to be able to say, I'm not saying let's all be anti-intellectual because whenever you talk about stuff like this, whenever you talk about the kind of the dangers of overthinking and knowledge and people are like, but it's really important to use your mind and all of those sorts of things. Sorry, I've used a nerdy voice, but like it is important to use our minds and God has given us that. But I think the kind of the point I was driving at in this particular passage, and one of the things that I think when we begin to experience the kind of sensory nature of the Psalms, this is one thing that I think it really invites us into, is to recognize that God is the God of our bodies too. Mm. And I was listening to a podcast, in fact, earlier today, that just talked about how, you know, particularly during the Enlightenment, our bodies kind of got demonized, and you know, people were like, oh yeah, the mind, it's all, you know, it's brilliant, it's brilliant, it's brilliant. But things of the flesh, they are awful and sinful, and, you know, and cannot be, nothing good can come from that. And it's not true. Like, God made our bodies, he made our minds. And so both things are important. And I think, so the danger is in our society where we have elevated education and study and learning to such high degrees, we really value that here, is that we then diminish the importance of kind of experience, what we feel, you know, and our bodies. And God actually speaks to us in both kind of, both of those places. So I think, kind of coming back to the question, I think if the danger is that if we are just focusing on the knowledge of God, it can become that intellectual exercise that we don't, that we kind of feed our minds and fill our minds with more and more understanding. But actually, we can use that as an excuse, and that paralyzes us into inaction. And we kind of go, the more we know, the more we think, actually, I don't know very much, I need to find out more before I can do anything. And you can end up disqualifying yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I think also, like, that chase for knowledge, I think the reason behind that, the motivation behind that, is because knowledge gives you a sense of control. If you're able to wrap your head around an idea or a concept, then that makes you feel like, yeah, you're able to kind of compartmentalize it a bit, and you understand the parameters, and that means you can kind of come in and out of it as you see fit. Whereas kind of that more emotional response, and I think I said this earlier, like, it's super subjective and up for interpretation. And I think that's also where you get into the whole, well, what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. And I know definitely for young Christians, the ones that, you know, I meet with and talk to, they really feel a sense of pressure of having a definitive answer. And so it seems that knowledge is the thing that gives them that sense of control, and almost gives them that sense of authority to kind of go, well, no, this is what I believe and this is why I believe it. Mm. But majority of the time stems from head knowledge.
And I don't want to shatter anyone's dreams, but the thing that we need to know is that we always talk about our feelings being subjective and what we feel being open to, you know, how much sleep did I get last night, or what did I eat for breakfast. But our minds can be deceived too. And I think it's really important to recognize that our thinking is vulnerable too, and that in every area of our life, we have to go in with a posture of, you know, I might be wrong and I need to learn in this space. And the thing that allows us the freedom, and I love what you talked about how we try and secure ourselves in that space, and they're the moments to pay attention to. Because anytime we think, I'm just trying to secure myself so I feel comfortable, like, we need to ask the question, oh, hang on, how am I trying to secure myself? Because actually that's what God is wanting. Him, you know, he wants to be that within our lives.
Yeah.
And so if you're going, like, if I know the answer and then I'm okay and then I can kind of, I can attack this and go forward. It's important to recognize that actually the only person we can anchor ourselves to is to God. And that we have to, that kind of highlights the importance of a daily rhythm of relationship with God, because the only way we can face the challenges of, you know, differences in the landscape is, you know, hand in hand with Jesus. And he's the only one who actually knows. And he's the one who leads us and guides us through our emotions and experience. And this is the last thing I want to say on this particular point, is that the other thing that we minimize so much is that there is a force against us that's working super hard to make us fear and to suppress our actions, because the enemy wants us to sit spending all our time learning all of these things and never doing anything. Because, he knows that there's great power when we act, because we don't, we're acting in the power of God, and change happens in our world. Mm. And that is precisely what the enemy doesn't want to see. And it's really important, you know, that we recognize that the enemy is there, but God who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we have the power to overcome that too.
Mm. Awesome. That seems like a great segue into question two.
So, Mark, question number two is, what does it look like for us to act on God's power within us?
And I love that that question came up, because in many ways, that's the sorts of things I began to touch on in the kind of application part of my sermon. And that's something that's really important to me when I'm preaching, actually, is helping this kind of, you know, where the rubber hits the road, and how that actually becomes something that's lived out. And I know that I've got my own kind of experiences of where God has led me through this. And the thing I would say, kind of to start with, is that this is a learning exercise for us, and we have to take time to learn it. Like, and the only reason that I am a bit further on than I used to be when I was younger is that I recognized that listening to God and then responding to him and in his power is something that I have learned, or and I'm continuing to learn. Mm. And I think that we often do things from that place of kind of reason, where we go, okay, I've worked out that this is a sensible thing to do and a good way to respond. And often that's going to be in line with what God wants too. Because as we've talked about before, you know, God made our minds too. It's not like he's, you know, we aren't separate people. Like, that's a whole other issue that we would need to deal with if we're beginning to think that. But actually, when you are stepping into that place of, I guess, of nervousness, where you kind of go, oh, hang on, like, I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone here, but I sense kind of God's invitation in this, because I'm seeing these sorts of things in Scripture, or there's a collective sense discerned collectively. And I don't want to get too much into question three yet, but but as a group, we've worked that out, that actually that is what God is inviting us to do. And when you step into that and you suddenly find yourself in the place of doing things that you go, actually, I kind of know I couldn't have done this without kind of God's working me. And you almost often, I think the results are, you surprise yourself, or you kind of have a moment where you think, oh yeah, like I've sensed God's joy in that. And there's a kind of feedback that comes in that space. But I think often we do just know the things that we go, I'm really nervous about this, but like, I've got to do it. Mm. And for me, that thing is praying for healing for people. And there's a couple of times in my life where I've gone, you know, and just done that. And I've sensed, you know, I prayed, I found this situation, and my heart starts to race. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, like, I know that that's what God is inviting me to do. And my heart really starts to race when that's someone who I hadn't, like, you know, as a stranger, I've just met.
Fair call.
Yeah. And look, you know, we got to be careful, and we go with kind of a certain degree of trepidation into that space. And I, you know, in the contexts that I found myself in them, it always comes with that offer. It's like, you know, just, you know, for example, there was a guy who was hanging outside our old church, and he was there with, you know, a sore hand, like a, you know, a painful hand, like I think he had a broken thumb. And it helped I was with my sister-in-law, who is far more confident in this space and goes and prays for healing for people regularly. And, you know, she saw him there, and you can just see that she senses the compassion of God. And so it's, you know, a characteristic, a fruit of the Spirit that kind of comes through, and you feel that compassion or care. And, you know, her heart started to race too. And we were like, okay, well, let's go and ask if we can pray for this guy. Mm. Yeah. And we prayed for him, and, you know, and she prayed and I prayed and she prayed again. And he was like, my hand feels much better. Mm. And I think, you know, and you come away from those moments and they're just, you know, in some ways they're super normal. But in other ways, you come away going like, I know that whatever went on there, I was not me. It can't have just been what I have done in that space. Mm. And you get that heightened sense. And I think you come away from it just grateful for the way that God involves you in what he's doing in the world. I think it's hard to give you a kind of general answer of what it means to go in, you know, to work in, act on God's power at work in us. But I think I often feel that kind of raised heartbeat or excitement or, you know, trepidation about it. And that's the kind of often the indicator that actually I'm being invited to do something.
Mm. And we are putting ourselves out there, aren't we? You know, it's really nerve-wracking and it's terrifying. And, you know, something like healing is so obvious that God is involved because, you know, you just speaking words into the heavens isn't going to heal someone unless, you know, God's power is in it.
Yeah.
But you can also kind of see that in just like a simple conversation with someone that you know, that you've been thinking about for a while and you just want to mention Jesus' name or something that like it's nothing that you're saying in that moment. It's all just, you know, you know showing God and him working through that.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, and that's, I'm glad that you raised a kind of, I'm reluctant to say a more normal example because I actually think God is inviting us to see praying for healing for people on the street as a kind of normal part of our lives. Yeah. But you know, often the conversations about faith and around faith with colleagues and things like that, you know, they are the ones that come up more frequently.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And I think just as we talked about, pausing, asking God, okay, what's helpful for me to say in this space? Mm. What's helpful for me not to say in this space? And listening to him, taking time to involve him in the interaction. I think that is inviting God's power to be at work within you. Mm. And you start to speak things and, you know, and hear his invitation of things to say in that context in a different way than if we just go, well, this is what I already know and this is what I've already experienced and here you go, which can often be quite unhelpful.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
It seemed to me that the tension that this kind of presents for a lot of people who are seeking to follow Jesus and kind of act in God's power is there is still a need for knowing God, obviously, and we don't want to just walk into these situations blind because that can be really harmful to us or someone else. Obviously, you know, if the Spirit leads, then you just go where you're being told. But, you know, there's a real significance in kind of knowing who God is and how he works. And that to a degree creates an expectation, but then those expectations can be kind of misleading as well. Because then if we do act and our expectations of what that looks like isn't met, then we can leave the situation thinking, you know, it hasn't worked or we've not done it right or that wasn't the right situation. But so there seems to be a real balance that we need to do kind of, obviously we need to be understanding how God works and look at the scriptures and look at the example that he has made throughout history. But then also be open to the possibility of what God's power will do and not confine it to our own ideas and our own expectations of what that might look like when we do act.
Yeah.
Which is tricky. Like, I think it's just, like, we just need to call it for what it is and just be like, this is hard. Mm. And it's why this isn't just a light bulb moment, but this is a lifelong learning experience.
And I think, you know, we're in the series looking at the Psalms and one of the things that we see in the Psalms is precisely that response is from people who go, well, God, you said you'd do this, but I'm not seeing evidence of that in the world. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. Like if we read the fullness of scripture, then we're equipped for the situations where we go, I prayed for healing, but nothing happened. Mm. Or I prayed for an opportunity to share something of the gospel, but when I said the awkward thing that I did, the other person got really angry and stormed off, and it doesn't look like anything good came out of that. And And actually, sometimes something good has happened, but we just didn't see it.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes things are just bad. And and God is still inviting us to come to him and bring that to him in that context. And I think it's really important because, you know, I wouldn't want to ever paint a rose-tinted picture of, you know, it's all about the technique, and then you know you're always acting in God's power, and if you're doing it this way and you're doing it right, then God is going to work, because God is not the heavenly slot machine. You know, it doesn't work like that. And if people have been taught that or kind of learnt that through, you know, their experiences or you know, things they've picked up, then you're right. Like you're open for a great deal of disappointment. And I think that can often really rock people's faith.
Yeah. And I think that's the tension that a lot of people find themselves in. All right. Well, we'll just leave that one there, just kind of out in the open. Let's move on to question three. Well, Mark, and I'm loving how like each of today's big three questions are kind of building on one another, because I think really what we come down to in this situation of kind of seeking out those opportunities to act in God's power is we need to have the ability to kind of hear from God in those moments and recognize his direction through his spirit, which is ultimately exactly what question three is all about. How do we as a community get better at recognizing God's voice, both individually and corporately?
And I think probably the first step in this will sound like a contradiction, but but it's actually about focusing on understanding our kind of knowledge of God more. But there's a difference in the way that we go about doing that. And I think, I don't know about you, but if you've done any sort of study, it's all about harvesting, skimming through textbooks to try and find the quote, like glean all the information, pull it all in, and then splurge it out on the paper.
That's suggesting I read the textbook. Yeah, I get what you're like. I'm great at a skim.
And I mean that. Like, you know, we kind of, it's the fast skim. It's not the deep, slow, considered read. And I think one of the what we try and do in kind of the life group studies and as a part of kind of reading the Bible together is slow down with scripture, take smaller sections and actually pause, read it again. And my brother-in-law talks about letting the text read you. And I love that idea. And often that is actually about, yes, learning more about God, kind of, you know, engaging our minds, but slowing down on scripture and even scripture, you know, verses that we're really familiar with, because it's often in those familiar ones, it's like, oh yeah, gloss over that. Yeah, I know what that says. But actually, you know, there's things in there you kind of go, oh, like I never noticed that before. I've never noticed, you know, kind of Jesus's invitation in that. And of course, my mind has gone blank for every example, but even in the context of this psalm, and as Jess was talking about, you know, the first thing that kind of struck her was the power thing. I kind of got that, but the other things were less clear. And the honest answer is, Jess, the first time I read this, I was like, is it about creation? Like I was stuck there again. But actually, the preparation for a sermon is about the slow rereading of a text. And that's actually a really helpful way of us discerning God's voice in that, because we believe that scripture is God breathed. This is his voice kind of written down for us. And it is the primary way that we learn about God. It's the primary way that we learn about Jesus, and we engage with the kind of rhythm of his life and the sorts of decision-making processes that he went through and the ways that Jesus interacted in the world. And so immersing ourselves in scripture is a really important way of hearing God's voice, but let's slow down on it. And let's also just not read it like a kind of textbook. Sometimes there's times to read it like that, but But allowing it to kind of speak to you and hear those words as words sort of spoken over you, kind of picking up on that kind of embodied reading that I mentioned in the sermon. So I would say that that's the kind of a good first step in that space.
I think that's super helpful because it's such a common approach to scripture, I think. Like I know myself, I've tried everything to be really good at reading the Bible. So like YouVersion, that you can press play and it'll read it to you. So I'm like, I'm driving for an hour. I'm going to listen to the Bible for an hour. But really it was just some random voice in the background that I wasn't really paying attention to. It was my version of a skim read, but audio version. So like and there's this – but I think what that picks up on is that there's this push and this conception that you just need to absorb it and it's just like big gulps and just nice and fast. And if you know it, if you know the story, if you've read through it, then you've done the right thing. But I totally get that the significance of slowing down and really allowing it to kind of resonate and just kind of unfold before you, even if it is a small section of scripture. Like I think about the Proverbs, like they're what, 2, 3, 4 lines, and you can take one proverb and really chew on that for a day and potentially come out with multiple implications for your life. Like I think there is a pace issue that we have, and that's very reflective of our society and the way that we live, is that we think it's got to be hard and fast. But that idea of like slow and steady, I think, it's got legs is what I'm trying to say. It's got legs. I like it. There you go.
And like, so for example, like Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And imagine taking just a whole day, maybe even a whole week. I've had mentors who said that they meditated for a whole year on the same verse of scripture and reading and rereading that and like being still and knowing that I'm God. It's like, where am I not still in my life? Like, know that I'm God. Like, I often, and we talked about this, I often diminish God's power. Be still and know. Okay, that's the posture in which I'm best able to learn. And all of a sudden, when you start to just slow down on scripture, you're suddenly like, wow, there's so much richness in a few words. It's incredible the kind of ways that we hear God, I think, differently when we slow down in that space.
So let's say I'm working on the meditation of a verse for 1 year, haven't quite gotten there yet. what are some other ways we can kind of hear God's voice while we're figuring out the whole reading the Bible slowly thing?
I think the other thing is that we're not great at failing at things. And we often disqualify ourselves from engaging with something because we think, oh, if I do that, then the outcome could be catastrophic. and creating a kind of safe environment, and this is, I would say this is an advert for being in a life group, because that's the sort of space with trusted Christian friends, people who know you've journeyed with you, where we begin to explore these sorts of things. And so, simply starting to pray, and before you start to pray for another person in your life group, asking God, what would you like me to pray for this person? And rather than going, oh, let's all share our prayer points first, just stopping and going, okay, this is our prayer time. And you're going to pause and you're going to ask God what he wants you to pray for that person. And I think if you come at it with a loose framework of, that when we're engaging with kind of the prophetic, which is often the scary word for people, but I like to call it listening to God on behalf of someone else, which other people find a lot more manageable. that the kind of a good framework for that is that, is what we're praying encouraging? Is it, is it life-giving? Is this something that would bring me joy if I heard? And then if you get a sense of something that you think, oh, crikey, I'm not sure I should be saying that right now, then maybe just pause on that for a while, because it's okay to pause. But starting out in that space and going, okay, what do you want me to pray for this person, God? And then just praying it. And then taking time to kind of ask that person, hey, like I had this sense of, you know, that you may be facing a difficult decision or something in that space. And that's just what I wanted to pray for you, was for discernment in that particular space. You know, does that resonate with you? And ask the question of it. And don't be loaded in asking that question. If the answer is, well, actually, yeah, like I'm trying to work out what job choice to make at the moment, then that's really encouraging for the person who is praying. And if the answer is, well, I can't think of anything right now that might be related to, then, you know, it doesn't mean that what the person prayed is not relevant or right and that they misheard from God. But it also, it kind of creates the space for that to be a kind of learning exercise. Mm. And so I think trying out those sorts of things is a good way in a smaller group setting of learning to listen to God's voice and, you know, and having grace with one another and kind of going, you know, if my intention is encouragement and building one another up, if I fail in that space, then what's the worst that's happened? Someone accidentally got encouraged. and that's okay. And then, you know, as you grow in that, you can begin to explore, you know, other things and begin to press into things like, you know, praying for healing, which is not always going to work because I don't know why.
That's another podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I feel like I'm feeling super encouraged. I'm feeling like, Common, you've given us some really good starting points to start to reflect on maybe some of the things that are interfering with our next step of acting in God's power, but also helping us kind of just kind of really start to perceive what that might look like in our own lives. So before we wrap up Big Three, is there anything kind of you want to leave us with? Any last little tidbits, any last thoughts?
I think the other thing I just kind of want to sneak in on question three is the idea of time. So I've talked about kind of slowing down and letting scripture read you, but also, you know, my mentor encouraged me to have a chat with my wife about where we saw, you know, what we felt God was wanting to do with us in terms of a ministry context. And he said, go away separately and spend some time discerning kind of what that might be. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I think, another way kind of corporately that we can begin to grow and learn about what God is inviting us into and wants to do in our lives is taking time kind of separately and then coming together on those things. And you can do that in a life group context as well, and, you know, pray about something and spend some time praying about something over the course of a week and actually writing those sorts of things down and then coming back and comparing notes. And there's been times in my life when I've done that and it's been so encouraging. You suddenly see these threads woven through and it's like, like you had that thing, I had this thing, and those two things together, they like that totally makes sense. And I really believe that God wants to use those collective experiences to kind of grow a community together. Because, you know, like a kingdom divided, like is going to be like broken down by the enemy. But when we're united by God's Spirit, when we are united in the work that he's inviting us into, and there is extraordinary power in that. And so sharing those things, seeing the kind of threads of God in that and acting on them together, that's a hugely encouraging step for us to take as a community.
Yeah, sure.
That's awesome. What a good way to just to end there. I like that. I'm feeling encouraged. So Common, thanks heaps for joining us for today's Big Three.
Thanks for having me.
So Jess, lots of stuff that we kind of talked about there. It is one of those topics I find like my brain hurts a little bit. And, you know, granted I'm sleep deprived from newborn baby, but I feel like this might hurt a lot of people's brains. It's such a big concept and there is so much of the personal in it and so much interpretation of, you know, is this where God's leading me? And I guess even fear in that space. So like, yeah, I'm spinning a little bit. I'm tripping. what has today's discussion kind of drawn out for you?
I think, well, Mark asked me before we started the podcast whether I had trouble slowing down. I was like, no, I spend a lot of time lying on the lounge. But now I understand what he means. And yes, I do have a lot of trouble. Like, I'm very still. I'm lying on the lounge. But
I'm stationary.
Filling my head with all these different distractions. And do I actually spend the time to sit on like that one passage thing just blew my mind for a year. Like, I am nowhere near the discipline of doing that.
Yeah.
And that's not something that's unachievable for sure, but something that I can see the benefits of and would really need to work towards. Even like the reading a passage and then reading it again, I know that's like that's how we've been taught at GBC to read the Bible and ask those few questions as follow on. I even struggle with that little bit.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, something I definitely have to work on. I find like involving other people who are a little bit further down the track than me is super beneficial in kind of discerning what God's saying and where God's at, but that I actually need to spend the time to sit and listen myself rather than relying on other people to tell me.
But having said that, like, it's funny, there was so much in that discussion that's kind of spinning around my head, but I loved that little bomb that he just dropped at the end, just, oh yeah, by the way, the whole idea of bringing other people into the into I guess the exploration of what God's doing, going away and then coming back together and kind of seeing what God has spoken over you both and how they might interact with each other. I mean, like, obviously currently church looks really different, life looks really different. I feel like on a number of different parts of today's podcast, it's a perfect like free plug for life groups, like to just bring people in and be like, this is not something that we do by ourselves. You're not like, faith is not about just locking yourself in the study and cramming before the exam. It's living it out each and every day, one step at a time. And it's so much better when you do that with people. And so I love the idea of, inviting people into that space and that journey for me. Not just so that they can maybe affirm or help me discern what God's doing in my life, but also so that then I can play that role in theirs. I love that was just a just like a last minute throw in at the end, and that's the thing that for me I'm just
drop.
Like, man, that's what I need to do. Like, I need that in my life.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. I found like a sense of, you know, we touched a little bit, but on this, like the balance of it all, that yes, you need to be grounded in the word and be knowledgeable about God and his power and how he works, but also you need to kind of hit the ground running and kind of stop and think and look where God's at work, but then just, you know, go for it. Put yourself out there. And when you feel those kind of butterflies and your heart racing, like that's the moment to step out in faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an awesome challenge to leave everyone with.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're there at our online services this Sunday at gbconline.org.au and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.